is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Cal Grunwald, who supports Radio Liberty, and we get together about once a month and talk about what's happening on the financial markets, what's happening here in our society, and how this is going to impact our listeners. Well, one of the concerns I have today are all the books I'm getting from people who tell me about the terrible menace from Iran, and we have to attack them before they attack us. Sort of reminiscent of the way it was with Iraq, isn't it, before we went to war there? And then all the articles that are up on the Internet suggesting the very real threat of Iran for the United States, and they're threatening to attack us or some way or other disrupt our society. And the underlying theme seems to be that we're going to have to do something to Iran. There are reports out that Vice President Cheney has asked the military to begin planning for a nuclear attack on Iran, and should another major terrorist attack occur here in the United States or certainly on our holdings throughout the world, why Iraq would be Iran would somehow be held responsible, and that would tend to justify a nuclear attack on Iran. Now, this may appear illogical, but so much of what's going on in the world today is illogical and is leading us, I believe, towards World War III. And I really think that they have to have some sort of a war to cover up the very real economic problems we are developing here in the United States. Well, with that as a background, Cal, how are you tonight? Cal? Oh, well, I guess we have to push a button there. Hi, Cal Grunwald, how are you?
Okay, no, I can hear you a lot better, too.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway, we were just talking about the very real discussion of the fact that we would go to war with Iran. Now, I find that difficult to believe because the support for the war with Iraq has been falling, but nothing really makes sense, and so much of what's going on today has no basis at all in reality. And yet, of course, the tragedy is we're trapped in a war in Iraq, and there are two ways out. One would be simply to withdraw. The other would be to get into a war with Iran and have such chaos that the American people would begin to rally behind the government again. So what are your thoughts, and how does this fit into what you see happening economically throughout the world?
Well, certainly the world is poised on the edge of World War III. I mean, it's very, very obvious after our invasion of Iraq and all the atrocities there. France and Germany have banded together, build up armaments, and of course, when they get to that point where they're strong enough, they will do something, you know, to the United States, and China and Russia, of course, are waiting in the wings to join them. It's created so much animosity, you know, by, you know, Georgia's oil grab over there that the Muslim world has united itself basically to, you know, fight against any Americans, kill any Americans they can. One other thing that's happened just recently that I know didn't hit the major media is Saudi Arabia, now they have a different...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. He's commenting that things have changed in Saudi Arabia. As you know, the man who certainly has been acting for the king, you know, has now assumed the leadership of the country. And this gentleman, the new king over there, is really violently anti-American. So, you know, in fact, the man they've appointed to become the ambassador to the United States, His name is Prince Turki Al-Faisal, was formerly the head of the Saudi intelligence, and many people believe he was instrumental in actually financing the 9/11 attacks. Certainly we know he was very close to Osama bin Laden. He is very close to the radical Islamic movement, and he has been now appointed the new ambassador to the United States and welcomed with open arms by the current administration, which doesn't make sense. He was actually named in a lawsuit that was raised by some of the families of the victims of 9/11 in a $1 trillion suit against the government of Saudi Arabia for their involvement in financing the 9/11 attack. The Bush administration would not allow the lawsuit to go forward, and this really is somewhat concerning. I would think if there was nothing there, why the lawsuit would have proceeded, the evidence would have been brought out, and the parties would have been exonerated. By failing to allow the lawsuit to proceed, I think they've guaranteed the belief on the part of many Americans that Saudi Arabia was involved in the 9/11 attack, and their involvement is being covered up. So pick up the story from there, Cal.
Again, I have a little bit of a different slant on it. George wants to, get with the Saudis because of the oil, and now we're having this oil problem. Two things. About a month ago, Saudi Arabia converted 368 billion dollars into euros and yen.
Now, these were dollars that was money they formerly held in dollars?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
So, this was a major move against the United States, against the dollar, to hurt us, because the Muslim world is united against us because of what we're doing over there. And the second thing they did was to cut off the oil contract that they had with us. And that's why Mobil Exxon is hurting so badly, because most of their oil came from Saudi. And they gave that contract to China. And so now, George is over there. I shouldn't say over there now, but he's talking to the Chinese head to get some oil. So that's why these oil prices are going, crazy, because we're getting cut off.
Hold that off right there, Kyle, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal is saying that the Saudis are not providing as much oil for us as they have in the past. And so pick up the rest of the story there, Cal.
Well, again, this is, if you want to hurt somebody, hit them in the wallet. And that's exactly what they're doing. So they're dumping our dollars in favor of euros and yen. In fact, that day they did that, the euro jumped 6 points. People, probably weren't watching it, but it did. And, Saudi Arabia is a major player in the world because of their control of a lot of the oil. And they hold a lot of our dollars, and so they're basically saying, we're going to come against you where it hurts. And all these are concerted efforts by the Muslim world to seek the revenge that they want to get against our country. And of course, with the oil too, just cut off the oil, and that hits us hard too, because we know we're the largest consumer of oil in the world. The United States is, so it's hurting. And everybody's getting hurt. You go to the gas pump, and gas is headed for $3.50 very soon.
I think it's headed towards 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or $10 a gallon.
Absolutely.
And I think people have to understand that we have not been allowed to develop our own oil. I mean, there's lots of oil up there in Alaska, and yet there's been a consistent effort to keep us from drilling in these so-called wildlife reserves. Oh, my goodness, all those wildflowers up there. Let me tell you, nobody lives there. It's too cold. It's too miserable. A few Eskimos, they would welcome our drilling. The reindeer love the pipeline. They give you this idea that it's a wilderness paradise. It's really nothing if you've ever seen the tundra up there. They are intentionally and purposely and maliciously preventing us from obtaining the oil, which is readily available there, to create the crisis to drive up the cost of oil. And this is what the American people find so difficult to believe. Why have they blocked nuclear energy for the last 30 years? where everybody else in the country is developing nuclear energy. We could build a nuclear power plant for North Korea, gratis for them. We recently guaranteed a loan for 5 nuclear power plants for communist China. Westinghouse could go out and borrow the money, and if China defaulted, why, old Uncle Sucker will pay for it. I really mean that taxpayers here in this country will have to redeem the money if for any reason it's not paid to the people who loan it, so that they can build the nuclear power plants in China. But we can't build nuclear power plants here in the United States because we don't know what to do with the spent fuel. They might explode. Oh my goodness, nobody would want to have a nuclear power plant in their backyard. And yet my son was on a nuclear aircraft carrier for many years, living right in close proximity to a nuclear reactor that fueled that aircraft carrier, and he was just as safe as he was here at home. Well, people must understand our perceptions are created by the people who control the media. They have done everything they could to precipitate the present crisis. But my fear is that the next step may well be a war with Iran. Why? Well, because the Chinese are getting the oil now, buying increasing amounts from Venezuela. The Chinese have gone into Alaska, the Chinese have gone into Canada, and they've bought up a great deal of the oil sands that are there. I mean, there's enough oil in the oil sands and the oil shale in Canada to last for 100 years. And instead of the United States exploiting that so the oil can be shipped down here, we've allowed the Chinese to buy that up, and now they're putting a pipeline in from Alberta over to the coast. So our leaders are doing everything they can to precipitate the crisis, which doesn't make sense unless you understand the spiritual forces behind what's going on that are energizing and blinding and leading the leaders of both political parties. So with that as a background, go ahead, Cal, pick up your story.
Well, again, as I mentioned, all these are concerted efforts by those who hate us to destroy us, and little by little they're doing it. You know, first of all, of course, as Thomas Jefferson said years ago, if you can control the currency of a country, you can control its people. And so by cutting off the dollar, now basically the rest of the world has rejected the dollar. Of course, the media is never going to tell you that either. But as we get hit, you know, with the dollar being rejected, you know, our economy's got to be hurt. You know, as you've mentioned many, many times, we've talked about how we are shipping our jobs overseas. We don't manufacture anything here anymore. It's just all service, and even that's going to India and to Pakistan and Costa Rica, all over the world. I talked to somebody, you know, working for a big company in this country from China today. He could barely speak English. I got so frustrated I hung up on him and called back. I couldn't understand half of the words he was saying, but it's a huge company in this country. It's really sad what's happening. You know, so Americans are going without, and all these foreigners are getting our jobs.
Oh, not only that, but for instance, a lot of the architecture is being done over in India, and of course they can do it in China or in South Korea as well. And they have people who do speak good English who can do architecture. They can do engineering. They can do computer programming, they can answer the telephones, and we are intentionally outsourcing our jobs because the real agenda of the leaders, the unknown and invisible leaders of America, is to carry out the program that is laid out in the Earth Charter. And if you haven't read the Earth Charter, and you've heard me speak of it before, but you need to get it, you can pull it down off the Internet, or we'll be glad to send you a free copy from Radio Liberty if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And notice point number 10 of the Earth Charter. To redistribute the wealth within nations and between nations. Redistribution of the wealth within the nation, of course, is what communism and socialism are about. Redistribution of wealth between nations is globalization. And it really means the impoverishment of our people. That is the real agenda. Who wrote the Earth Charter? Three of the most powerful and wealthy men in the world. Mikhail Gorbachev, Maurice Strong, Professor Stephen Rockefeller. And I would like to suggest, of course, that these three men are all in one way or another involved in the occult. And you can read my latest July newsletter, my June newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, and we go into the occult background behind Mikhail Gorbachev, why would it be, why in the world would it be that, you know, the former head of the Soviet Union, the former head of the KGB, would be lauded and applauded throughout the world, that the leaders of the entire world would come to his State of the World Forum meetings and pay homage to him? What gives him his power now that he's no longer the ruler of Russia? Why, it is simply the occult forces that he has pledged his allegiance to. And the same would be true for Marie Strong, who's recently resigned as the number two man at the United Nations. You'd never heard of him, but he was the real force behind Kofi Annan until a couple of months ago. And, of course, Stephen Rockefeller is one of the senior members of the Rockefeller family, which is by far the wealthiest family, probably one of the two wealthiest families in the world. And yet we never hear that mentioned. All we ever hear about are Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and we just never talk about the Rockefellers, whose wealth dwarfs that of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. But then, what would you expect when the media is controlled and our minds are molded and our ideas suggested and our tastes formed largely by men we have never heard of? Well, Cal, you know, I agree with you. I think that we're in very real trouble. I think the dollar's in trouble. And, of course, I think one of the biggest reasons for that is the continued creation of money out of nothing, as the government does, simply by every month expanding the money supply further and further until eventually our currency will become worthless and the savings of our good people will become worth about the same. In other words, as you have inflation, we destroy the value that people have spent their whole life working to amass. Is that right?
Well, that's very true, and that's why whenever I talk to somebody on the phone, now, especially with all this going on around that people don't really realize it's happening, I just ask people, what are you doing to protect what you have out there, either in the stock market or the bank? Don't you realize that it's, you know, I call it imaginary money, electronic money, paper money, credit. It's all an illusion. And somebody might be rich on paper, but not have any real money in their possession. That's why I encourage people to buy some silver and buy some gold, because, you know, these are the common sense monies that have been around for 5,000 years. You know, the gold and silver are the money of the scriptures. That's why I'm totally convinced that they will be around after the dollar fails. They're going to rise again. Gold and silver will rise again to take care of those who hold them. And that's a pretty powerful statement, but it's history repeating itself. So people need to take a hard look at what they have, you know, in the institutions, because the government has complete control of the stock market and of the banks, of the credit unions, of all the financial institutions in the country, that matter, the world, in different branches. And at the stroke of a phone call, they can say, close your doors, and everybody's stuck. And that's a pretty serious thing. So if we know these things, we can prepare. Now, with Saudi Arabia making this major move, you know, to divest itself of dollars and get into euros and yen, people should really pay attention.
Well, of course, most of the countries throughout the world are not doing that because they're afraid that if the dollar falls, then the massive dollar holdings they have backing up their currency would lose dramatically in value. So, you know, some of the foreign countries, you know, some of the European countries are actually helping to bail us out. And we're spending far more every day than we're taking in. And we have running about a 6% deficit in this country, as far as we're spending far more than we produce, 6% more than we produce. And you can't keep doing that indefinitely. So the only thing that really is keeping America going is the fact that foreigners are investing in our bonds here to the tune of some $2 to $3 billion a day. That's a lot of money. And if they cut that fund, that source of money off, why, I really fear what's going to happen. I think that they're simply putting off the inevitable, however. I think that they are as well, and I think that the Saudis are getting out of the dollar. Why, of course, it should suggest that they've lost confidence in what was once the most powerful nation in the world. We'll be back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and I should preface the remarks we make by saying I'm not a financial expert, but I am an amateur historian. I've been following this for many years. I've read the writings of many people who are well-versed in economics, and those who understand what's happening are deeply concerned, a feeling that America is following the path of other great nations that have debased their currency and laid them open for destruction. So, well, that is the background. Certainly Saudi Arabia then is divesting itself of funding. Is there anything else out there that you think is important, Cal?
Well, I know there's a lot of things going on that very few people, you know, are really know about. But I just focus on, you know, talking to people, and if they can focus on, you know, what they've got out there, you know, their 401ks and money markets or CDs or any kind of paper instruments that they have, it's a time to take control of it, and it's not in your control if it's behind somebody else's doors. Time to take control of it and figure out some kind of a plan to preserve it in these days when the dollar could go at any moment. Like you mentioned before, Dr. Stan, if we have another terrorist attack, you know, they can close the doors. You know, they're planning on having martial law at some point, just whenever the government decides to create an event, and then and the curtain comes down and we have martial law, then people can't do anything. So people need to kind of wake up and take notice of what's going on around them and say, what can I do now to ensure my family's, you know, safety and financial security in the midst of the chaos that's coming. And again, not in a panic state, but just in a rational, sane form. You know, make some plans and carry through and, you know, get some real money, gold and silver, you know, buy some food to store that away. But make your preparations in a rational manner. And so you're ready for what's going to happen.
Well, is there more, you're, of course, in dealing with people all the time, are more and more people aware of what's going on, or are most of the people out there pretty lackadaisical? Have you noticed any increasing interest, or are things just about as they always have been?
No, I have. There's a great interest kind of growing now. A lot of people are waking up. I mean, the masses are basically asleep, as you know, but a lot of people are coming out and saying, look, I do see something that's happening now. I mean, you've got to be completely asleep not to see, you know, how the economy is so bad. You know, everybody I talk to, you know, people are losing their jobs and factories are closing down and you know, the General Motors and Ford, how they got hit so hard and you know, pension funds are drying up when the companies promised they'd always be there. And all these things are taking place, but, you know, most people aren't waking up because they're just propagandized by the media and Wall Street. But a lot of people are waking up. Increasingly, people are calling me. I mean, I call people after, and I send them my paper and things like that, but increasing in numbers, people are calling me and buying gold and silver. I don't even have to sell them. You know, the Times are selling them. The occasion, the economy is telling these people, we better have something substantial to fall back on. You know, what are we going to do when the banks close their doors? What are we going to do to survive as a family? So, yes, I noticed a definite increase in interest in buying.
Well, of course, right now, one of the things that's keeping the economy going is the massive pumping of fiat money into our economy, and of course the housing bubble, and people are selling their homes and making a fortune. Or we'll be back in just a moment here with Cal Grunwald. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just saying that one of the things that's keeping the economy going is the housing bubble. And of course, houses that you could have bought here in the area where I live for $30,000 or $40,000 40 years ago. These houses, the average house in our community is going for approximately $800,000 today. I think it's about $780,000 is the average home in my community. These are houses, as they say, that 40 years ago sold for $40,000, the exact same house. So we have a housing bubble. And certainly there have been housing bubbles throughout the world, but they seem to have cooled off in several of the other countries. And as they increase the interest rates here and make it more difficult for people to borrow money, why, eventually this housing bubble is going to stop. And I think this is one of the major reasons why every quarter, why the Federal Reserve raises the interest rates one quarter point. And they're going to have to get the interest rates up high enough to actually deflate the housing bubble without actually popping the housing bubble, because that would have disastrous consequences on so many people who are just overextended. I talked to a fellow yesterday on the plane, I guess, and he was telling me that a friend of his wants to buy a house here in the Silicon Valley area, just over the hills from where I live. The gentleman makes a six-figure salary. In other words, it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe $100,000, $150,000 a year. But the only way he can afford a house, to buy a house in the San Jose area, is to buy it with a 50-year loan, which means he's paying all, very little down on the principal. And, of course, this loan would go out over 50 years. That's almost like an interest-only loan. And yet, this is the quandary so many young people are faced with today. They just can't afford to buy the houses at these exorbitant prices because of the monthly payments on it. Are you running into that in your area, Cal?
Yes. There's a lot of foreclosures. As the economy gets worse, a lot of foreclosures. The housing bubble isn't as severe out here by any means. But it's nevertheless real. A lot of people are kind of going with a strategy that I kind of adopted before the year 2000. I mean, I sold my home and I'm renting. And I still plan, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to buy another house because there's a risk. Because if, you lose your job or something happens, you can always come up with the rent. But when you have a house payment that's six times the rent that I'm paying now, it's impossible. Most couples are, they're both working and they're just 45 to 60 days away from the street. I mean, it's scary. It's really scary. So that's why a lot of times I recommend to people that have a lot of equity in their homes, instead of getting the equity out with a home, with a refi, take the equity and put it into gold and silver. You're still making your monthly payments, but you've got plenty of gold there to redeem your house and pay for it three times, four times over. And the dollar collapses because gold is going to multiply and so will silver. And then you're sitting in a good place. You're still in your house. You're still making your mortgage payment. It might be a little bit larger. But you've got the reserves in gold and silver to be able to bail yourself out when the time comes.
Well, I think it's really very interesting. I've been following Warren Buffett because I figure he's a lot smarter than I am. Warren Buffett lost almost $300 million last year by shorting the dollar. In other words, he has about $20 billion invested overseas shorting the American dollar. He lost $300 million because the dollar did not go down. In fact, the dollar even went up a little bit. For a time, I believe we're in a long-term bull market for the American dollar, but right now it's been certainly in an upswing in a bull market. Markets go up and down and up and down. Right now, we seem to be in somewhat of an upswing part on that. But, the thing is that Warren Buffett has held his position and continues shorting the American dollar. Now, Warren Buffett is very close to Lord Rothschild. In fact, many of you may have seen that picture of Warren Buffett and Baron Rothschild over in England, along with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when Arnold was taken over there to be cleared by Baron Rothschild before he was allowed to run for governor of the state of California, because that's how things are really done. But I think that when we see what really smart people are doing, whether it be Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or George Soros or people who really understand the monetary system, when you see them having lost faith in the stability of the American dollar, you know that no man's property or family or future are really safe. And, of course, the great tragedy is people have never studied the history of currencies. They don't know that there's nothing new in what's going on today. It's been tried time and again in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. In more modern times, it was tried early in the 1700s. In France, under John Law, L-A-W, it was tried here in America at the time of the American Revolution. It was tried in France again in 1789. And we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Cal Grundahl, to talk about what's going on in America and what we must do to protect ourselves. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. And, of course, we've been talking basically about what's happening economically to the United States today. Well, Cal, of course, as you talk to people, and certainly we know that the General Motors is laying off an awful lot of people. We know that Ford are laying off an awful lot of people. What really concerns me, however, are that so many of our other major industries are simply moving out of the United States. And those companies, these major American companies, are making good profits. But they're not making them from manufacturing in the United States. They're making those profits from manufacturing in China or somewhere offshore. In fact, even many of the factories that initially moved to Mexico are now moving over to the Orient because, of course, of the very cheap and very reliable labor force there, which is why so many Mexicans want to come to the United States. They're desperate to get jobs. So what's the solution as far as our economy is concerned? Is there any way we can stabilize the American economy and stop losing jobs?
No. As you know, because this is all done by design. You know, the World Order entourage, you know, came up with all these trade treaties, NAFTA and GATT, and they've determined to do this. So there's really no way to turn it around. The only way to turn your own personal financial, you know, his future around is to take heed to what is going around you and make some definite moves to, you know, preserve what you have. You know, because, you know, if you buy gold and silver, they historically have always preserved the wealth that people hold. And that's why, you know, with the big bankers, you know, the very, very wealthy, they, whenever they get the money, they turn it into gold. And of course, they store it on the 6 or 7 floors below the Federal Reserve Bank in New York City. That's private gold. And why do these people hold gold? Because it's the only real money in the world. So people need to emulate that in a small measure, and be all set.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting that we hear about the central bank selling 100 million tons of gold here and 50 million tons of gold there, but who's buying all the gold? This is not being bought up by little people. This is being bought up by people of great wealth. If gold really has no value, why are people of great wealth accumulating gold and buying the gold that is being sold by the central banks? And why are the central banks disposing of their wealth? You know, when, of course, this is really needed to preserve the stability of their currencies, or do they realize that soon, one day, all of the currencies are going to descend into chaos? We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and before we go on, Cal, you have some things that you will send out to people certainly advising them how to avoid scams in the coin market and some other material. Actually, I've read about what happened back in the 1930s during the Great Depression, and certainly the things that happened at that time that may very well foretell what's going to happen again. How can people get in touch with you and get that material?
Well, very good. My number, I'll give a number of times, but it's 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. And I do have an information package that people have told me that is very, very good. It was meant to be educational, and, you know, through education, everything is done. Without knowledge, you can't make a proper decision. I've written over the period of years I've been in the gold coin business, so close to 9 years now. I've written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. And it just basically explains how the coin industry is unregulated, and it's pretty much buyer beware. Whatever these coin companies can get away with, they do. They misrepresent product. They lie to people. They cheat. They, you know, and some of the saddest stories I've ever heard in my life have been involved in the gold business, so it's really kind of sad. So I've written this treatise, you know, on the scams in the coin industry, and people have told me it's the best thing they've ever written, most informative thing they've ever written. And I also have a document called the Emergency Banking Order, which was drafted in 1961 by Robert Anderson, who was the Secretary of the Treasury at the time. It has to do with banking regulations in times of war, and of course, any time that our government decides that they want to declare war, they can do it, and then they can shut all these institutions, the banks, credit unions, the stock market. So I've got that document to send. And also, as you mentioned, some articles from the 1933 New York Times, when Roosevelt confiscated gold, what happened, how they closed the banks, Roosevelt declared a banking holiday, how he raided everybody's safety deposit boxes, put restrictions on withdrawals, severe restrictions, 60-day restrictions on withdrawals from the bank, only on written permission. All these things are waiting in the wings to happen to America again, and people don't know history, just like the old saying, if you don't ignore history, you're bound to repeat it. And this package is free to anybody who asks for it. Just call me up, and I'll be glad to send it to you at no obligation or no cost. Again, my number is 414-234-8267. I'll be glad to send that.
All right, fine. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, you agree or disagree, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, I wanted to share with you something that was written back in 1965. And this is what it says. In the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. The financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirade against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth, and that's exactly what our government is doing. Our federal debt is now approaching $8 trillion. Our international debt, of course, grows every year. This year, it will probably be, our balance of trade deficit will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of $600 billion, maybe even $700 or $800 billion. We are spending more than we're making. We're dependent on foreigners to buy our debt, and they're not going to continue doing that indefinitely, especially if we continue our war in the Middle East. Now, the remarks I just read, the essay that was written in 1965 was written by Alan Greenspan. I recently read on the Internet a remark somebody had made saying that it overheard Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, asking Alan Greenspan about that essay, saying that, of course, the purpose of deficit spending was the confiscation of the wealth of the people, and that there is no safe store of value, and that basically the financial policy of the welfare state requires to be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. And this essay was saying that this gentleman had heard Ron Paul ask Alan Greenspan, and Alan Greenspan had replied, "I have recently reread that article, and I wouldn't change one word of it." Well, of course, there are a lot of things up there on the Internet that are said but aren't necessarily true. And this is a remarkable statement, if indeed Alan Greenspan said that, because what he is saying is they're planning on confiscating your wealth, and the only way you have to protect yourself is gold. And I believe that. I have always believed that. I wrote that in 1965, and I would not change one word of what I wrote. Now, is that really true? Well, I called Congressman Ron Paul's office, and I talked to his press secretary and asked him about the quotation. The article I'd read in the paper, on the Internet, suggested that the conversation had been held very, very recently. But the aide told me that, no, the conversation was held several years ago. It was an informal conversation after Alan Greenspan had testified before a congressional committee that Congressman Ron Paul had sat on. And Ron Paul had gone up afterwards and asked the question, and Alan Greenspan had said, "I've recently reread the article, and I would not change one word of it." So Ron Paul had told his press secretary, who confirmed the story to me. I think that's just really one of the most fascinating things we've heard in a long time, because Alan Greenspan knows exactly what he is doing, and he is intentionally and purposely destroying our economy. There is no safe store of wealth. They are going to destroy everything. So with that as a background, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I would ask the question, why would anybody want to destroy the financial stability of our nation? And I would answer that question by suggesting I believe there are people who would like to take us into a cashless society where everything could be monitored and controlled, and no one will buy or sell. Unless, of course, they have the proper identification, or perhaps they have the proper mark. What are your thoughts on that, Cal?
Well, that's obviously what's happening as we were in the last days. We are headed for the cashless society, the mark of the beast, whatever it may be. But you know, the masses are going to continue to be duped into believing that you know the paper dollar is money. That electronic money is real money. That the institutions are watching over us for our own good. And as they, you know, you go to a bank and you want $2,000-$3,000, they say you have to come back tomorrow. I mean, they don't have the cash, so they're squeezing the banks out of cash, and of course the banks are squeezing the people out of cash. You know, you got a credit card, you can't even rent a car without a credit card. You can't give them cash. I don't have a credit card. I can't rent a car. I've tried many times. You can't do it with a debit card, and you can't do it with cash. So they're squeezing people into a mold. You know, it's going to be a cashless society. So whatever the mark might take, those who don't want to take it are going to have some alternate currency. You don't want to, you know, if you don't want to, you know, take the mark and live on plastic or your ration, you have to have some real money, some gold and silver, so that you can survive. And there's going to be a whole other culture. The masses, of course, 98% of the people are going to be, you know, herded into concentration camps and have government housing and government rations and everything else. You know, Big Brother will take care of you. But those of us who refuse to take the mark, you know, as believers in the Lord, we have to see down the road, and we have to recognize what history has been, and we have to do something about it while we still have some time. And we all know what real money is, because it's the money of the scriptures. So whatever people feel, you know, comfortable in converting, you know, electronic or paper money into real money, they should think about doing it fairly soon.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Drew calling in from Little Rock, Arkansas. And incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I should note that somebody had called in and asked about Warren Buffett and saying, isn't he an insider? And if he is insider, why are they letting us know what he's doing? Well, I'm sure that Warren Buffett is an insider. He's a brilliant individual, but then most insiders are. And by insider, somebody who understands what is really going on. He's given privy to secrets and can anticipate the major financial moves in society. And that's why Warren Buffett has done so well. And starting with $150, his owns are now somewhere around $40 billion. So he's done fairly well. But he has access to the information that you and I don't ordinarily have access to. And I think we should heed what he says and how he's investing Berkshire Hathaway's money. Well, let's go to Drew calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Hi, Drew. Did you have a question? Or
yes,
comment?
Sir, thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I have an article that was emailed to me on the 22nd by a former United States Marine out in California. And he used to work, he has a son that works in the U.S. Treasury Department. And they got an article, and the article reads, the U.S. government has the authority to prohibit the private possession of gold and silver coin and bullion by U.S. citizens. And this is dated August the 22nd, 2005, in a memo sent to the from the Treasury Department to the Gold Antitrust Action Committee.
So, what are your thoughts on that?
That's what I'm asking your guest. What's his thoughts on this authority that they are presuming they have?
Well, again, the government, it does have the authority to confiscate gold. So all they're just basically doing is, you know, flexing their muscles and saying, look, you know, people, if you want to get into real money, we have more power than you do. So, again, it's just an intimidation. That's all it is.
That's all that is. It's just intimidation.
Right. I believe so. I believe that they're really trying to intimidate the people. You go along with the system. After all, we have to have total power because we're fighting Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave in Pakistan. And if you don't give us all your freedom, Osama bin Laden is going to take away your freedom.
That's a horrible misstatement there. I mean, not a horrible statement from you, but that's a horrible reality out there.
Well, you know what's going on. They're taking away our freedom in an effort to combat terrorism. And rather than profile the Islamic people here in this country, who would be the most likely terrorists, well, they're going to profile everybody and pretend they're terrorists. And if an airline today were to profile more than two Islamic people getting on their plane, they would face fines and serious repercussions. So the airlines are not allowed to protect the passengers. They're doing nothing logical if there really were a war on terrorism. It's as phony as a $3 bill.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%, Dr. Stan. My last question here is, if this is the case, what can we as Christian citizens invest in to keep in our position without the fear of the black booted thugs kicking our door in? Looking for gold and silver.
That's all they're trying to do is coerce you psychologically into staying away from gold and silver, which are the only monetary metals in the world. That's all they're trying to do. And I better not buy gold or silver because they're going to come after me. Well, if they can intimidate you to that point so that you don't do it, then of course you're going to have to take the mark because you have nothing to protect yourself when the time comes. So
what are you going to do, Drew?
Well, I'm going to buy all the gold and silver and get my hands on it. What do you think? I'm not going to let them have it in their banks in a safety deposit box.
Okay. I think that people are going to have to make each one make a decision. But understanding that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces which are energizing these wicked people who hold the reins of power, not only in the United States but throughout the world today, are plunging us into World War III.
I believe that's what they're doing. I really appreciate your show, Dr. Stan. You do a great job. Thank you very much, and thank you for having your guest.
Well, thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Drew calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. And certainly, if you're out there, we'd have time for one more call. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And remember what Daniel Webster wrote. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. And the American people really are deluded by paper money. And they do not understand the lessons that have been learned over and over and over again in the past. And that is that all paper money systems eventually collapse. And as Aristotle had said so well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a fiat money system as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. I've used that quotation before, but it'll be quoted many, many more times because Aristotle, writing 2,300 years ago, realized what had happened in ancient Athens when they corrupted the money, and it has happened time and time again since then, and it is happening again today. It's just such a tragedy that the American people are not taught history and do not understand the fate of every great nation that enters into an inflationary spiral. Well, we've just got a couple of more minutes again. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. And Cal, what do you think is the best investment? Is it gold or is it silver?
Well, again, if people have a little bit of money, I suggest silver because, the dimes, quarters, and half dollars that were legal tender before 1965 because they were 90% silver coin. That's what I recommend, and that's what I put people into. I recommend a bag of silver per household, and that's a 55 pounds of coins. And those, in a very, very practical way, are going to be your barter coins, to get your loaf of bread or your dozen eggs or your gallon of milk or your shirt or a pair of pants or whatever when the times get really bad, when the dollar does collapse. So silver is of primary importance. And then gold is there to preserve your wealth, 90% of your wealth that you want to protect should be in the gold and like 10% in the silver.
All right, let's go to Ben, who's calling us from Brooklyn. Hi, Ben. Did you have a question for our guest?
No, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to make a comment on what you just said in
all
your
right.
guest about how when a country starts overprinting their money,
right.
that automatically down the road the money will lose its value.
Right.
Well, I'm 56 years old, and I could tell you, I can remember my dear teacher in the second grade, taught us that back in Aruba, Netherlands, and Telus, Dr. Stan.
Well, I think you had a very, very smart second grade teacher. I would say we're teaching this in classes across America today.
Oh, yes. We had a very fine system, which was the European Dutch system, even though there were certain things that were not up to par, but I can really recall that. And every time that I listen to your program and I hear you saying that and your guest, I said, but my God, why aren't people here up to tune with that? And it's so true, Dr. Stan.
Okay, we're out of time. Bye-bye. God bless. Thanks so much, Ben.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got time for the professor from Columbus, Georgia. Hi, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, good to talk to you, Dr. Stan. Long time no talk to.
Right.
And listen, I've got a new format I'm coming up with for a type of gold coin. Of course, you can't call it coin. You have to, you know, when it's a commemorative, you have to call it a commemorative round. But I believe it will be come in handy. It'll be non-confiscatable. You know, anything's confiscatable. They can take your car, your home, whatever. But it won't be viewed as a coin. It'll be viewed as a religious token. And by having it so, I believe it will be under the radar. Also, it will be 12 carat. And I'd like to talk to somebody financial about it because of I want to take some final plans to the art man that's going to create the artwork that will then be turned into the AutoCAD. You know, I'm sure you know about computer-assisted design. It's going to be... there will be a metal die that's been made. I've already talked to the manufacturer, but I'm in the process of coming up with the artwork. So I'd really like to talk to a financial guru, you know, somebody that's savvy in the metals. I've been in metals since I was 16 years old, and I'm 41 now. I'm a jeweler. I'm a jewelry designer. I've got equipment, you know, to make jewelry, carve jewelry, cast jewelry, copy jewelry, the whole nine yards, you know, dealing with precious metals, you know, gold and silver predominantly.
Right, well, we're just about out of time. Cal, do you have any thoughts at all for the professor calling us from Columbus?
Well, why don't you give me a call and we can talk about that.
Okay, I'll take your number down off the air. Thank you. God bless both of you gentlemen. I love the truth that you guys are talking.
Well, we just try to get the truth out and try to get people to think and see what's going on. Thanks very much for calling. And, of course, that was a call from Columbus, Georgia. So it's good to know that the program is being heard all across America. Well, Cal, do you have a parting thought for our listeners this evening?
Well, again, now with these troubled times and... the dollar, you know, collapsing, Saudi Arabia rejecting it, cutting off our oil supply. People need to take heed to, you know, preserve some of the wealth that they do have. And my number again is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. And I have a package of information, on the scams in the gold industry, emergency banking order. There's an article on the Fort Knox gold that's not there anymore. There's nothing backing our dollar. And articles out of the 1933 New York Times that people will find fascinating. Fascinating to the point if you don't want it to happen to you, then you better take some heed to do something before it does. So 414-234-8267. And certainly enjoyed the program tonight.
All right, fine. Cal, I'm just going to wait until we bring our music on just one more time and get the telephone number out. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening's been Cal Grunwald, who's one of the supporters of Radio Liberty. Cal, give your telephone number just one more time.
Yes, 414-234-8267.
One more time.
414-234-8267.
All right, fine. Thanks so very much. We'll talk to you next month. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr.
All right, fine. That was Cal Grunwald, and Cal's been with us for some time. I just wanted to mention, if you are interested in knowing more about what we were talking about tonight, let me suggest a number of books. One of them is called The Creature from Jekyll Island. It's written by Ed Griffin, who I've known for over 40 years. and Ed Griffin tells the story of money. It talks about the meeting that was held on Jekyll Island back in, I think, 1910, where five or six of the wealthiest men in the world got together and planned how they were going to delude the American people, how they were going to be able to take over control of our monetary system without letting the American people know what was happening. And they decided that they would create something, they would call it the Federal Reserve System, but it really wouldn't have anything to do with the federal government. It would have a facade of being related to the federal government, but it would really be in a position to control the federal government. And that's exactly what they did. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, is really must reading for any American who is concerned about what's happening. And if you'd like to see a copy of a letter I found in Colonel House's papers back at Sterling Library at Yale University when I was there, and it's a letter that was sent in November of 1933 by President Roosevelt to Colonel House, saying, as you and I both know, Colonel, why this government of the United States has been controlled by financial elements in the large centers since the days of Andrew Jackson, which would only tend to confirm what we had just said. If you'd like to see a copy of that letter, we'll be glad to send it to you. The people in positions of power know that Hugh controls the money, calls the tune. And that's exactly what happened. That's what the Federal Reserve System is all about. It's a privately owned central bank. All of the central banks of the world are privately owned. Now, if you'd like to go into more detail, we've put together a little pamphlet. It's called The History of Money, and it's simply three of my newsletters. It'll give you an excellent background of what's really going on. We also have a DVD called The Coming Financial Crisis. We think that Professor Sutton's book, entitled The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, is very important, as are his books, Gold for Survival and Gold for Investment, and then the little book entitled The Fiat Money Inflation in France. It was written actually 125 years ago, but it tells what happened in France in 1789 when France did exactly what we are doing, and that is, of course, actually went into a fiat money system to solve the problems that followed the French Revolution. We recommend this. We also carry a video entitled Phenomenon, the Money Men. And if you have that information, you will know more than most college professors. And let me specifically suggest the pamphlet, The History of Money, and, of course, my DVD, The Coming Financial Crisis. We ask you, of course, to if you're interested in any more information, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And there you can listen to our programs on the Internet directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs there. And you can actually go ahead and pull down all of our newsletters and copy them and get them to other people. And then, of course, we ask you to tell others about our programs and encourage them to listen. We are trying to expand our program to syndicate both this evening's program, the afternoon's program, and we are going to be heard. Many of our evening programs will be rebroadcast on a major network in the Midwest with 16 or 17 stations starting on the 5th of September. If you are in a position to help us, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. Our telephone again, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stanton back here once again with you, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us tonight a man, we're going to call him Christian. He is an Arab. He is a Christian. He understands the Muslim faith, having studied it extensively. And America, tragically, is locked in a battle with the Islamic world. It didn't have to be that way, but it is that way. If you'd read Samuel Huntington's prophetic book, The Clash of Civilizations, and I recommend it to you, Samuel Huntington said that in the future, the major conflicts between the peoples will be based on a cultural basis. And he lists a number of cultures, but certainly one of the most dominant ones in the world is the Islamic culture. And he said the last thing you want to do is get into the Islamic countries and try by force to make them be the sort of world that you want them to be. Because democracy is not part of their very makeup. Their religion is part of their very being. And you're not going to win them around by force. You'll only get a tremendous antagonism. And yet that's exactly what we're trying to do today. And, you know, if we want to change the Muslim world, we will do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the way we're doing, when, of course, the Christian nation resorts to torture and shelling and destruction of towns to get rid of the insurgents who are there. And I see very little evidence of true Christian love and compassion being exerted by our military forces today, and tragically, that is what the Muslim sees. He sees America, the professors to be Christian, committing the same sort of atrocities he would expect from a Muslim ruler and a Muslim nation. With that as a background, Christian, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about your education and background, and why you were so concerned about what's taking place in the world and the conflict between the West and the Muslim world today. Christian, are you there? Christian, are you there? Oh, my goodness, I don't know what happened to our guest. I'm going to have to... Christian, are you on the line? Well, I think I'm going to have our producer call him again. Somehow we've lost him, but this is a gentleman who has studied extensively on the Muslim religion, has written about it, and certainly has, had the opportunity many times to debate Muslims. In fact, most Muslims will not debate him because he understands the religion, having studied all of the writings. And, in fact, I'm sure he knows it better than most Muslims do. And this is the great tragedy of today, is that so many Muslims, the prayer and the taking the trip to Mecca and and of course the dieting and all of these things are part of their religion, they really don't understand the writings of Muhammad. They don't understand the origins of the Muslim faith. And so we're going to be, of course, covering that very, very shortly with a man who knows far more about Islam than I certainly ever will have an opportunity to know, a man who studied this, who's attended their schools, and who today, of course, is trying to educate the American people about what's really going on in the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and with us on the line is Christian. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our listeners who do not know you, who haven't heard you before, and give your background, and then, of course, we can get into the very real conflict that is going on today.
Sure. Well, you know, as I told everybody, and I think I became well-known for many in here in the state, I have degrees in Islam. I know Islam in and out. I spent years of my life studying this religion. So this is my specialty, and this is what my knowledge is about. And I am an Arab, after all. And regarding the question you asked me, sir, about what's happening in the Middle East, you know, the problem that until now Americans do not know how to understand people of the Middle East. You know, in the Middle East we have something, it's called the religion of Islam. And this is what making the Middle East is totally different from any other areas. This religion is ruling everything in that area. The way you eat, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you walk, everything is ruled by that religion. It's not the same as in America. In America, you can be whatever you want to be. So when we talk about you know, giving a freedom and talking about freedom and try to start a freedom for countries like Iraq or any other Islamic country, you know, we need to understand that those people do not believe in the freedom. The freedom for them, it's just a joke. In Islam, there is no freedom. You fight for it, it means you are fighting for nothing. For them, they hate the freedom because Islam is a religion anti-freedom. You know, if you remember last time we talked, we mentioned that even if you decide to leave Islam, the punishment is death. So there is no freedom even to choose your religion. You are stuck, you are in, you cannot leave. So how I can convince someone, he hates the freedom and he do believe strongly that the freedom is an anti-Islam. Anything has to do with the freedom is something, you know, for them, it's a faith, you know, it's a satanic teaching. For them, it's something bad, ugly, disgusting. So you can't convince those people to go and follow freedom. As long as they don't, you know, they do believe in that religion, the freedom there is going to be a dream and will never become a truth.
Well, do you think the majority of the people really believe in the Muslim faith, or are they simply living there and they're afraid to speak out against it or to try to leave the religion? And hold that thought, because we're going to have to bring other stations on board, and then we want to address that when we get back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Christian. We're going to call him Christian. He is a Christian Arab. He has degrees in Islam. He knows the religion. And it is his contention that under Islam, everything is determined for you. There is no concept of freedom. They determine what you eat. They determine how often you pray. They determine how you dress and how you walk. Every aspect of your society, every aspect of your life is controlled by your religion. And the idea that we are going to go in and impose democracy on this sort of a society is tantamount to madness, a total lack of understanding what this is about. We see today there in Iraq where certain of the Sunnis have wanted to participate in the electoral process, and they're being systematically killed. They're just simply being apprehended, taken out in the woods someplace or out in the desert and shot down and wrapped, you know, up in an election flag. And of course, fanatics don't want any idea of democracy. Would that be a fair situation? And how many of the Muslims really believe in the Muslim religion? Or how much too many? Is it simply a way of life? They don't know what to do. They have no alternative.
Well, you know, first, you know, not every Muslim is a Muslim, which means, you know, I can guarantee you that 80% of Muslims, they refuse Islamic teaching. They are Muslims by name, but as I told you before, it's a mafia. You can't open your mouth. You know, when the flag of that religion is terrorism, you know, who can open his mouth and who dare, you know, to say this is wrong? So when you are there, you know, even me as a Christian, do you think I can say one word against that religion in there? They will cut me pieces. So what do you hear from everybody, no exception, that's, wow, Islam is a great religion, we want it. But the fact is totally different. You know, and I can show you this in a very easy way. Like if you go to all the Islamic countries, you know, show me one country do practice Islam. None of them. They say all of us Islam is great. All of, you know, all of them, they say Islam is wonderful. It's lovely religion. But none of them is willing to take the Quran and the practice in that book in their country because they know how ugly it is. So they are saying, you know, they are just being hypocrites because of the situation of the terrorism. Because, you know, if we have 100 guys, 20 of them are killers, the 80, you know, trust me, they will listen and they will obey the 20, because the 20, they are the killers. Mostly the killers and, you know, the bloody people, they are more powerful than the peaceful people. They can terrify you, they can kill you, they can do anything. So we can say maybe 20% of the population in all those countries, they are bloody, they believe in Islam as a religion and they want to fight for it, they are willing to die to it, but they are the people who do have the weapon. So always, you know, the ugly guys, they take over. The ugly guys, they have a power. The ugly guys, they can terrify the nice people. So, you know, we are not talking about everybody in there. In the same time, it's everybody in there. Because if you make a vote, nobody dare to say otherwise. But if you go and see the way people act in their daily life, you will see that no one, he wants Islam. Like, you know, the president of Egypt, he will say, I belong to an Egyptian Islamic state. If you go in Egypt, you will never see anything had to do with Islam. The belly dancing, you know, this is a city, the country where the belly dancing number one as a business. Prostitution is number one business. You know, casino, clubs, everywhere. People wearing bikini in there. And all of them, they are Muslims. This is the kind of vote they are refusing Islam. But if you ask even the woman, she is in the bikini, what do you think about the Prophet of Islam? She will say he is great. But she knows the Prophet of Islam, he said, because you wear bikini, you should be killed. You see how hypocrite they are? So, you know, what we are trying to do there,
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.